Hi, welcome to the Classic Red Green Show podcast. I'm your host, as always, AJ. So, this is podcast number 7 from the looks of it. Trying to get into that once a month sort of feel, so we're just a little bit over that amount of time right now, but I like to think that, you know, it's only about a week or two, it's probably fine. But I am really, really happy that everyone's been following the podcast, and I've been gaining a lot more followers, so that's been pretty cool. I'll give a shout out to Stirring Spinner. They followed us a couple days ago. HPW Dot, they followed a couple days ago. And who else here? Let's just have a look. Doom followed us. Melissa, thanks for following us about a month ago. Some of our more recent followers on Podbean. Of course, this podcast is available in most places where you can find podcasts, so have a look for us. It's pretty easy to find us, I would think. So, what's the podcast about today? So, the one thing that I'll talk about is the upcoming kind of news, some of the stuff that's been going on. Definitely want to get into some of those little items. This is getting towards kind of a special show for us today. As we kind of look back at where we started on the actual podcast, it turns out it was last July 30th, 2019, that we launched episode 1 of the podcast. Not exactly proud that it's been a full year and we've only done 7, but again, I guess it's better than nothing. Not to mention with all the COVID stuff going around, it's been very busy, so I'm sure a lot of you are, you know, happy to get some new content, and I'm happy to do it. So let's get into some of the news. Really the biggest news in kind of the Possum Lodge Red Green world right now is the new Possum Lodge podcast that debuted a little over a week ago on June 28th. So basically the podcast, as you know, if you don't know, here's a big kind of a hat tip to that one. Red Green is doing a podcast now. He ended up doing it with his son, Dave Smith. Dave Smith has been a writer on the show in the past, so it's kind of a natural progression for him to move towards a podcast. And they have it on the redgreen.com website. There's a couple of links where you can go there and find out more details or find out more information about it. Basically whatever you want to do. And basically they're running it out of the Patreon kind of realm. So if you're on Patreon and you search for Possum Lodge, it should come up. It dropped on June 25th, but that was only to, I guess, the Tier 3 patrons. They get early access, so the first one really got dropped for everyone else, Tier 1 and 2, on the 28th. As far as I know, it so far has been pretty well received. I haven't listened to it yet myself. It's one of those things that are sort of backed up and bogged down, and you're kind of a newborn in your family, but apparently it's pretty good. So I highly advise you, if you're kind of on the shelf about it, give it a try. I mean, just go even for Tier 1. It's not a whole lot of money. I think it's $5 a month here. I'm trying to find it on the page, but it's very, you know, yeah. Well, there's guests. Actually, here, I'll throw it this way, okay? If you want a membership level, is the guest, weekend member, and Possum Lodge member. So Tier 1 through 3. Tier 1 is only $1 a month. So if you've got $1 a month, you get access to the current podcast, that one for the month, ad-free. Again, pretty reasonable. $1 is not a big deal. $5 for your weekend member. You get the full access to the full library of the podcast. So everything from podcast 1 forward as they move forward. You get to be involved in the exclusive polls and voting. Presumably that's to talk about, you know, future characters or future show ideas, that type of thing. There's also a message board that's going to be on the page, and you're getting full access to that as well. And you obviously will have access to the current podcast, totally ad-free. I move over to the $15 a month Possum Lodge member, so Tier 3. So again, you're going to get early access, you're going to get access to their Discord channel with Lodge member status. You get your name mentioned during a podcast, obviously your first time. You're also going to get some behind-the-scenes vlogs from Dave as well, and a discount code from the Red Green merch shop, as well as everything else in the previous tiers. So, really, it's about whatever works for you, but at the end of the day, you're going to get a really nice podcast to listen to. So definitely suggest having a look at that, seeing if it's a good fit for you. So as I said, that's really the big news that's happening right now. I was just looking at some other stuff, and so if you're sort of like, well, I mean, what's the podcast really about? And presumably, if you're listening to this and you kind of know what Rick Green, you're probably a fan of the show, and I think that's going to be what you're really interested in seeing. I was just looking on to some of the news kind of circles that have been going on in advance of this podcast starting, and Steve Smith has been doing kind of those question and answer type situations. So there's been, you know, if you look for it online, there's quite a few different news articles about it. I noticed a couple today when I was looking, I just happened to catch them. Like, for example, he did a conversation with CTV News, and some of the stuff that, you know, I want to highlight here is definitely going to be of interest to you if you're looking kind of at this objectively and wondering, is this for me? Basically, Dave Smith had mentioned that it's literally, they designed it in a way, it's just a radio show version of the TV show. So you're essentially going to get what you kind of fell in love with the TV show. They've also mentioned that unlike many other podcasts, theirs is going to be entirely scripted and produced in a studio. And it's more done in a way because Steve Smith grew up with the old style radio shows and really wanted to emulate that sort of feeling and vibe, I guess I'll say, and just sort of the entertainment value of it and kind of the interacting with each other. And if you're a fan of the show, I mean, obviously that really is present. You know, the interaction with him and Harold, the interaction between Red and the other characters, it's very obvious and very much shares some similar kind of aspects to the old style radio shows. So, like, for example, if you are watching the show and you just sort of close your eyes or you just leave just the audio on, I mean, it's very, very similar to those old shows. So obviously it transcends very well to what they want to do with the podcast. But it's also interesting because it's not just your typical sitting around a room and going on about different things or swapping stories. Not to say that that wouldn't be fun, but this is just something very different from what you see. Even for me, a podcast I've always listened to in the past is the Harlan Williams podcast. Very much a sketch kind of comedy type thing where he's got certain characters. Again, very similar to Red Green that way. But then he also had his commentary and stuff. So that's the one that I see is very close to what they're kind of wanting to do, but also farther beyond that sort of realm of things. So it's very interesting to see where they want to go with that. So let's see here. I was also looking at couple other ones here. So this is the Ottawa Courier, and it was kind of through, I thought it was a fake thing because I'm thinking it's like what the, like a fake Ottawa Courier, because they haven't had that in like 50 years or something. But anyway, it's a real thing out of I believe Iowa. And the last kind of line in this article and sort of said everything for me on this one here, and it's basically Dave Smith talking about how the whole thing was contrived last year in 2019, and then they kind of sat down and said, I think, you know, especially Dave Smith, we really pushed for this, and was sort of saying, this is something I think we can do, especially as those old, or the one man, this could be a tour, shows were kind of halfway through or ending, so where do we go from here, especially if Steve Smith doesn't really want to do the live stand-up anymore. And I think he felt this was a natural place to go to it, and a lot more comfortable for them to do it. They'd be creative, do something a little different, but you know the wear and tear of being on the road. And you know, Dave basically says, you know, I can pop out some work here. And they sat there and they did 600 pages of script, and this was last fall or something like that. So I mean, it really was working well. But as far as like where they want to go with it, I don't think they really know even right now. So, and that's where this last line in this article sort of is interesting, because he says, you know, we'll kind of next year see what the support's like and see if it's kind of worth the time to do it again. It's going to be supported by the fans who want to do that, and if they figure that they don't want to support it, then they're not going to do it again. But if they do, they'll be here. So essentially what he's saying is, if the fans really come out and support it, I mean, they could be doing this for years. Like, they're going to go as long as fan support will take them to that place. And it's interesting to see where they're going to go. And sort of they hint at, you know, we're doing this one drop last Sunday of the month, but maybe they'll do more. And again, it depends on that support. So I'm very encouraged by that, and I'm hoping that, you know, all the fans can get out there and support it, just because it's going to be the type of thing where I think that it could be a nice bridge to the show and the movie and some of the stand-up specials and stuff like that, where we're actually going to get some new content in a fun way and kind of a different way. Especially right now with the COVID stuff, I mean, new content is actually kind of fun to have. So that's kind of my little spiel about the podcast. I'm really pulling for them. You know, again, sort of a rival podcast, you might want to say, but I'm pulling for them. I really hope they do well with it, and I'm encouraged to, you know, see where they really go with this new show and all these new characters they're going to bring in, as well as some of the old characters are going to come by too. So I'm really encouraged by it. The other thing I want to bring up as new news is right now that they have some new stuff on the Red Green shop that I've noticed, and the one thing I really want to bring out is they actually have the Red Green vest now in stock. It comes complete with the official crest on the shoulder, so you don't have to be like with mine where, well, actually, I've got two. So, like, one was actually used in the show, and that one doesn't have a crest, but was actually confirmed to be used in the show. I got it from Mr. Used years ago. And the other one was one of the vests that they were made, and I'm still trying to figure out some of the background specifics on it, but it looks like it was a contracted vest out for the show as either a promotional item or something like that. And that was the one that I had read sign at the last show that I was at here in Ottawa. So he also mentioned there's not a lot of them out there, but they're hoping to do something with them and sort of get a new type of vest back, and it looks like they have now. So if that's something you're interested in as a fan, you know, they're available. So that's the one thing that really caught my eye as far as news. Another thing that kind of caught my eye is I was on like their Red Green Wiki fandom page, and they also had, you know, I'll be upfront, they'll use a lot of information that's derived from my Class of Red Green Show website, and they make it blatantly obvious at the bottom that, hey, we use a lot of stuff from this, which is cool. I mean, I'm really glad that they enjoyed the website, they used the information, they found stuff they enjoyed, and they also gave me some great credit back, so, you know, not a problem, enjoy that type of stuff. But the interesting thing is they also had the smart kind of wherewithal to go back and using the Wayback Machine at the Internet Archive website and look at the old versions of the redgreen.com website. And I was just kind of looking at a couple of the links that they provided, and it sort of brings you back to when I was a kid and going online and seeing all this and just some of the different things that they used to do back, and whether it's like the pictures or the look or just some of the different things that they had. And I was just looking at a couple here. So the only one I'll talk about today is December 27, 1996. They had it, and it's kind of crazy because like they have links on here to like where Red Green is produced. See the technical facilities of CHCH11, and it goes right to the old CHCH11 website where they actually have about CHCH and different types of graphics and stuff like that. The studio mobile facilities, Studio A here, I'm going to go to that one, and just some production facility details, and it's kind of interesting to see all this information is still floating around out there. You know, it's kind of wild when you think about it. But also just like different stuff, like here, read in the news, and they talk about some of the news that was important back in 1996 involving the Red Green Show. It's kind of crazy to see all that, like just all the different stuff. You know, Red's Ontario Lottery Corporation campaign. Do you remember that? I don't, but it was neat to actually get reminded of that. It's probably one of those things you saw as a kid and just, you know, mid-90s and just totally forgot about it. We're here, the new Red Green Show is set for season 5. It's an SNS Productions, media, I don't even know what they call them now. They're just one of those things that they produce out to update for information, and it just talks about the season 5 premiere, Saturday, September 30th, 1995, I presume, or 96, on Canvas Global, so it's Global TV for everyone in Canada. And I mean, they have got the full write-up. They got the show where it's going to have national exposure, so it's the full Canvas Global system, plus CFRN Edmonton, CFCN Calgary, CFCF Montreal, like the full deal. They talk about some of the different things here, like a major television campaign from Winterra is running now. He's doing ads for Pizza Hut. So it's kind of cool to see like some of the different stuff. Oh, here's something of interest, too. Back then, Red and Harold and some of the Possum Lodge gang appeared live at Paramount Canada's Wonderland on Saturday, October 7th at 5 p.m. Like, yeah, I'm just kind of thinking, like, even as a kid, I'm like, wow, that would have been awesome. And, you know, it's too bad that, like, these sorts of appearances just don't... And I'm not discrediting, obviously, Red Green, you know, or any show, but it just... That was kind of what it was like in the 90s, is you would have these appearances at these sort of, you know, these random places, like Wonderland or, you know, whatever. And it was kind of cool that you had that ability to go to, you know, again, as a kid, a place as amazing as Wonderland, but also to see, you know, the cast of the Red Green Show. And, you know, part of me just feels that these days we just... are sort of missing out. We don't have that fun. So I recommend, if you're a fan of the show and you got a couple hours to kill, go on, have a look at it. You know, play around with the Internet Archive Wayback Machine, because you're probably going to find a lot of stuff on there. It's pretty entertaining. I know from my website, there's a lot of stuff that I end up digging up off doing these little searches. So. It's just part of how I can provide kind of those gaps that need to be filled in order to provide information to you as a fan. The one thing I will say, if you are somebody who, you know, has something with, like, they talk about FM Foods, Mars and Snickers, Pizza Hut, Wintario. If you have Wintario something where it's got Red Green as part of that advertisement, like, let me know, send a picture, you know, I'll send something in the mail. Anything. I'm just really interested to see it and kind of to highlight it on the website for a lot of the fans. So that's really about it for the news. There's not really much more news-wise that I want to bring forward. But I do want to bring forward something really important to us here at the show and at the Classic Red Green Show website. It's our sponsor. And the sponsor, of course, like all of our other podcast episodes, is Rail Line Designs. Rail Line Designs has been a great sponsor for us. They've supported us through the last basically year, and they've kind of got this little project that they're really excited about right now, which is rail spike ball openers. So if you go to Rail Line Designs, that's currently right there, and they have these ball openers as available now to the general public. And I have a version of my own here that they provided, and I have to say it works flawlessly, and it's really neat. It's great for parties. You get a lot of people asking questions, for sure. Most of them good, and it's just, you know, works great. It's a great gift. It's the type of thing that, you know, with Father's Day just passing, it would have been a great Father's Day gift, or in the summer now, it's a great gift or a great item to have going out drinking or be on the patio or in the boat or whatever. You know, so check out that. If you want to find them, Rail Line Designs, just run that up here, Google search, until it's getting later at night here. And they have a Wix site, or they also have a Facebook page, which is very active as well. So if you just type in Rail Line Designs into Facebook, you'll find them there, and you'll be able to find out everything you need to know there. So we do want to thank them for their sponsorship. I guess... being just inside of July, or at this point, I do want to say a good happy Canada Day to everyone, all the Canadians out there, and happy Independence Day to all the Americans. You know, what more of a gift can you ask for than a new podcast from Red Green, right? So the other bit of news I guess I can mention is I'm starting to update the website again now that I have some time. So keep tuning in to the podcast as well as the Classic Red Green page, and you're going to find a lot of, like, different updates and different things that I've kind of been working on. I've been doing a lot of digging to get some information from various sources involved with the show, and kind of some sources who have been helping me to find information out from the show. And I feel that there's a lot of great information here that I've been digging up that will be of interest to you, but also just be kind of new and different. And hopefully, when I mention about filling in the gaps between things, I'm hoping a lot of what I'm digging up is also going to fill in some gaps too, and just sort of explain why things happened or explain where things ended up. You know, even stuff like Dougie's original monster truck, which is something that we ended up digging up through the help of a fan just the end of last summer. So little things like that I'm going to get up and really be talking about more in the coming weeks here on the website. So have a look at that. Okay, so what are we doing for the show today? Well, it's episode 7, the He-Man contest. So in this one here, Lodge is going to have a He-Man contest. Red's going to turn a stove into a reclining chair. Hap Shaughnessy is going to describe his days as a bush pilot. And Bill, of course, will make an igloo, because why not? So at this point here, this is going to be the end of kind of the first half of the podcast. We're going to watch episode 7, the He-Man contest from the first season in the second half. So I'll let you go on and do a search online. I've got it up on YouTube here. If you just maybe do a bit of a search for Red Green Show episode 7, it should come up. I believe like there's two versions as usual, both uploaded by redgreen.com or the Red Green TV. It's their main format. This one here that I'm using is the 24 minutes and 4 seconds version. Both, I think the other one's 23:59 or something. Both are fine at the end of the day. So I'll let you do a search for that if you want to follow along, and I'll take a pause here to let you to queue up everything. All right, so I just talk about a few other things that I've been kind of working on. So just finding some additional information on some of the regional shoots. So they did, I can confirm they've done a lot of the shoots up in the Muskoka region, so that's where we're talking about Port Carling and up Highway 11. On my website, I make a big discussion about Highway 11 and the significance of it. You know, we go to Chapter 11 of Possum Lodge and stuff like that, so you know, definitely digging more into those locations. So I'll be sharing more as I find out more for you as well. So we'll start the show here and like that. The other location too I want to bring up is we're talking about those outdoor Adventures of Bill location shoots that you're going to see later on in the series. And a lot of those we've discovered are at the Nash Farm just past Hamilton, Ontario. Coming in a little slow there, but no courage on cue.
Thank you very much, Harold. Thank you.
Still think that that Sharkway in the background, very, 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 very similar to the one on the Kenny versus Spenny from the looks of it. So, again, if you know of anything about that, you watch Kenny versus Spenny, you worked on the show, and you can confirm that, I mean, I would love to have that information. To be on two, you know, Canadian cult shows, that's pretty cool. Like, that I'm like confident it doesn't happen anywhere else.
He hadn't seen the show and just hoping that he knew what he was getting into. Stuff like this, things, okay? You know,
so we got Red coming over with his Ampex. His axe there. He did that Ampex board.
More importantly, my producer and director, and up until now.
Interesting thing, you can kind of see right there in Harold's shirt. It like almost looks like a pen cap, like coming out of the shirt pocket, but it almost looks like a large kind of a. I don't even know what I'd call it. Even there with Red, it almost looks like there's something there too, potentially, out of that pocket. Almost like they got a, like, Red, Harold almost looks like he's got a kind of a tin or something, and Red almost looks like a marker, I want to say. Maybe it's a shirt. Part of the resolution, I guess.
Not to worry, we still got my story about the He-Man contest.
And we always got these special effects.
I'll start with the story.
It's always the effects. They really rely on the effects. It's funny how the effects are kind of a running gag for the first season or two and then sort of fade away and just become part of the norm. So there we got some shots of Hamilton. Just a rural Hamilton, just outside of Hamilton. Steve Smith just driving around in the van.
I have an old wood stove, belonged to my dad. It was the best darn wood stove that he ever had.
Another great campfire story.
And burn things real bad. It belches and smokes. But then, so did my dad.
You guess the way they do it, you almost just see, you can envision what he would look like, right? on the spoons. I'm impressed that Patrick McKenna can play the spoons. I mean, I have to admit that I tried to play the spoons when I was younger and just could never do it. But then to remember the lines and all that. Hats off to him. What you can do with an old stove. Oh, this is a classic Handyman corner. There, we've got the shark there right at the front. I don't know if that's the same shark. The angle of the head sort of looks like it's the same, so I don't know. Stick in the mouth is a nice touch. There's an old stove that's probably, what, late 60s, early 70s vintage? Maybe mid-70s? Probably worth some money now, I guess. Probably hard to find. Looks like it's an old Westinghouse.
She has failed to deconstitute into her primary components, so I think we're left with no other burners. Choice other than to take torch to her. This should
so if you look in the background, on like the, you can really see that the brick formation there, just through that window in the back right. You got like the kind of the white kind of separator between like the, you know, quote unquote logs. You really see it's like squared off like a brick. So again, just kind of the cool part of how they built the design and built that whole set to kind of look like a log building of sorts. It's funny here, so that, you know, obviously they do the explosion. You know, this one here, like, Red's totally unaffected by that. You know, in a lot of the future episodes, kind of part of the slapstick is going to be that, you know, he's burnt up his clothes or he's, you know, got an explosion all over him or something. It's kind of neat. Wood saw and a piece of metal. I love how they keep it going. It reminds me of Family Guy that way, where they sort of keep an obvious gag going, and it makes it that much funnier.
Took the back off, and I think you're gonna be surprised what we got here. I got a bungee cord wrapped around the door.
This one's clever too, because it's one of those things where it's like, in theory, it probably would work. I don't know how comfortable, but good.
Not that magazine. That's Harold's magazine. And he's growing up, isn't he? Come around the front. We pick up the control module.
Yeah, if you could get one of these to work, that would be real impressive.
The oven rack, which is now going to be a leg rack.
Again, theory probably could.
Okay, now we.
If you're one of those guys that does these crazy inventions and stuff like that, and you make one of those, again, send me pictures or video. I'll put that one on the website, hands down. That'd be pretty cool.
We now have a beautifully comfortable reclining chair. And as an added feature, down on the control panel, center for bun warmer.
By golly, well, maybe he's onto something.
Yeah. So until next time,
kind of like using an old oven as sort of like a chair and a slash warmer. It might work. Might catch fire, of course. But.
We'll be right back after this commercial break with more about the He-Man contest story. If you have children, get them out of the room. Now! Just in case. Why would?
Like the look he's giving him there. And here, just going off, and he's just sort of lounging about. Can we get into a good walk here? This is another one I'm trying to find. I mean, some of these shots, I'm pretty sure I know where it is. It's out of the Hamilton area. And some of these, like this one in particular, is just very difficult to pinpoint, assuming that, you know, the shot was done somewhere different than some of the other similar shots where they're walking. But if there's not really much of a thing to pinpoint. Like in the back, there's a picnic table, but I mean, that's, you know, how do you pinpoint that as being somewhere, right?
Well, it's a commitment to, you know, to your team. Maybe they support your team, maybe they don't support your team.
But I always thought it was cool in this first season where you'd have these segments where they're just kind of walking, and again, you can picture that, you know, like a father-son, or in this case an uncle and a nephew, and just kind of walking, going fishing, and shooting the shit about life, and, you know, whatever's on their minds that day or whatever. It's a fun dynamic. It's something I sort of wish that they had gone back to as the seasons wore on, especially towards the end of the series, and you get more of a Red and Harold more as an adult and more as an adult man, you know, having these sorts of talks. Because it really lends itself to great slapstick humor and just sort of a buffer between some of the other segments of the show, like this poem here that we have.
A friend hits you in the face with a snowball, and as it melts, you become aware that he has a new puppy.
Have we all done that? Don't Don't lick the yellow snow. It's kind of interesting. Practically a national saying up here in Canada.
We made each guy come up with an event, and then the rule being that he had to go first on his own event, and that way the guys wouldn't, you know, rig up the equipment so that it would.
It's kind of like if you really pay attention to the story as well, and you know, it's kind of a funny story, but one that you can actually see is happening.
This is a really interesting story. It really is, but.
Like how fake that is. Yeah, he has no interest in that, of course.
You know, and that's not better.
Almost looks like a bit right behind him on the left there. Almost looks like a, you know, one of those hats and Mounties would wear. One of those, like, 10-gallon style hats.
And what I think the viewers would at least like to hear what the events were, Harold.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, no, that's a good idea.
And right to it.
Well, I didn't get to tell him what the events were.
Oh, I didn't know what you meant right now.
Well, what did you think I meant, Harold?
Eventually.
Oh, here we go. Hap Shaughnessy, Gordon Pinsett. Yeah, again, one of the great characters, side characters of this series.
Bush pilot, you were a bush pilot?
Oh, yeah, I was one of the very best, so they tell me.
What kind of plane did you have?
I wasn't a plane pilot, I was a bush pilot. I piloted bushes.
Well, bushes don't fly, Hap.
You don't have to tell me that, buddy. I worked with him for 5 years.
It's crazy, because Gordon Pinsett, like, still acting, and the guy's pushing 90 right now, too.
I'd build a raft out of a bush, and I'd pilot those trees down the river to the sawmill.
One thing I'm still working out is, so in the earlier seasons that he's on the show as Hap Shaughnessy, he's wearing the Canadian military hat, and I know he served a few years in the military back in the 50s when he was a young man. But I haven't figured out what particular group that's with. I believe it's Navy, but I haven't been able to pinpoint that one yet. You know, so again, if you're a Forces member or, you know, a family member of a Forces member and you recognize the emblem and whatnot, the hat, you know, please let me know for sure. I'd love to give them a little credit. Sitting there playing with the Dudley Lock. Got ourselves a good campfire song here. We got ourselves a mail call segment. So yeah, and that last song, that's pretty much the closest they come to really swearing, you know, they're talking about being up shit creek. I'd say that's probably the whole series. I don't really recall anything close to that. Just shows like how kind of family oriented the content is. It's kind of neat.
Is looking for a serious romance, and how do I keep it from my wife?
Yeah. Of course, I talk about family content. We got a guy trying to keep something from his wife.
Well, okay.
What do you do?
You are sincere here. If you really are looking for a woman who's probably kind of loves herself, a woman who's dying for a little romance, a little companionship. If you're looking for a lady who you could love and who could love you back, who is serious about having a romance, then I suggest that you talk to your own wife.
Well, that was really nice. That was great.
That's fine of us.
Yeah, well, I figure that his wife's
see, that, so between them, they've got that potbelly stove there, and the stove itself is real, I can confirm that. But what they've done is they've got kind of a smoker going on in there, so it's sort of actually, in real life, creating a real fire, real smoke. And there was an occasion where it almost actually caught fire in them when they were doing one taping. So it's kind of cool, because obviously like this is an enclosed set, and again, it's always neat how they do the mail call, where you've got this kind of window where you're sort of peeking in, sort of watching them kind of read the letters. They know they're on TV, but they make it seem like here they're peeking through windows, they're not really on, you know, sort of hidden camera. But anyway, so in close set, they do a really great job with it, and obviously that had the smokiness, and I appreciate kind of the burden it would be for the set people and some of the people working on the show at the doing the filming or whatever, just kind of keeping the smoke out of the way. But same with just keeping the smoke from wafting forward and covering them, because obviously your shots are going to be ruined. So it's pretty neat. And of course, you see now they ramp it up, and they have the ability. There's a way that they could have made the more smoke and whatnot. I like it here. He's just kind of pausing for time, just wasting some time to just want to answer it. And of course, more smoke's coming. It's really exaggerating the whole thing.
Well,
Okay, maybe we'll get a chance to answer that one next time.
If you look at the bottom there, you see the brick formation I was talking about earlier. Just kind of painted on, so up close it doesn't really tell.
This week on Adventures with Bill, we're going to show you what we consider to be a lost art.
Sledding.
Actually, there may be a good reason.
It's funny, so first thing Bill does is the one thing, I think I can talk about is, you know, the Adventures with Bill segments, that they're always shot in these black and white, and almost very film-like, old-style film, and that really stems back from these videos that they would shoot for Smith & Smith, where Red, or Steve Smith, was playing a character similar to Red, and sort of showing these videos of him in the bush and doing different things. And that's kind of where the concept has come from. And of course, at that time, they were using actual film, but they're also using the film to accentuate the fact that, you know, he's a bushman using really, like, you know, older technology or whatever. And so they use the same approach here with the black and white, and you can hear the clicking and stuff like that. But in reality, they actually shot on actual film. And from some of the sources I have, and I've been able to dig up here, there's not really a reason for it. It's just kind of interesting, too. I mean, I 100% get it. It works. And again, it parodies that character in Smith & Smith, which that was parodying the actual Red Fisher show, which they would do stuff like this with film. So that's pretty cool. But the cool thing is that, as you can appreciate with film, I mean, it's not like today's technology, we can just shoot, oh, it didn't work, let's reshoot it, so just wipe off what we did and kind of erase and move on. It was on film, so you only had so many takes, and then that was it. So they had to almost nail it right, and you're seeing with a lot of, like, how Avengers with Bill was created, just how crazy it would have been to come up with this the one time and then not have necessarily another reshoot available. They just shot it, and which again I think is great because it just shows how real and how kind of fun it was. Like, look at here. Like, obviously he's pulling out, you know, a piece of styrofoam or some sort of like thin paper. The roller in that.
Mainly up in the Arctic, you know, with the Inuit, the Eskimo, and they get into it. You know, the Inuit get into it.
Just a fun part of the show, I think. And again, I've always liked. Yeah, you can kind of see the bottom like layer right there too. So they've obviously layered a few, and then he sort of grabs whatever. Yeah. This was always a fun segment just because they were doing different things. Yeah, and somehow he gets a house with that.
Unfortunately, that's not it. It's over.
Oh, but they got you on that one.
And, yeah, there it is. Not bad, no, not bad.
You almost feel like Red's holding the whole thing up. It's like two sides.
But it's a beauty, and of course, you know,
I mean, that view behind them is great, too. I can see why someone would want to build a house there.
Which is unfortunate.
Yeah. And it's a good chance, from the looks of it, that almost looks like Hamilton. And there's a hill and an escarpment that's just on the one side of Hamilton. And if that is the case, it's very likely that could actually be Steve Smith's house, because I do understand that he has a house up on the escarpment. Someone I was talking to a few years ago, and, you know, they would always see him in the summer driving around in a Dodge Viper in Hamilton and going back up to his house or whatever. So, you know, very well that could have been the front yard of his house. If so, amazing view. Hats off to him.
Early on in the planning stages of our show, it was suggested that we have something different, some kind of a feature, you know, just as long as it was unique, it didn't matter if it wasn't any good.
I love the joke, he just kind of rubs it in there.
Shopping with your mom.
This whole segment is just something else. When he does these.
Like with world hunger or peace or, you know, who's better, Gretzky or Lemieux. But it's important to
me. And it's funny he brings that up, Gretzky Lemieux. Here it is, I think, you know, Mary Lemieux retired, was that 2007, Gretzky 99, I mean, this was shot obviously 91, well before, like, you know, obviously Lemieux's first retirement, Gretzky would still play another, you know, better part of 10 years, and still people, you know, debate that. It's kind of cool.
You know, should be like some respect for privacy, and there should be a lock in those change room doors. So the door doesn't bust.
I love where this ends up going here.
I don't care how ridiculous that point of view is, it's mine. Thank you.
Just around. See, and what's that like crinkle noise too? Like,
lots more fun, lots,
you know,
more,
was there a candy in his pocket? Which if there was, it leads you to wonder,
exactly,
what do they have in their pockets when they're filming? Oh, yeah, all of this too. They, you know, I mean, it's just kind of like falling apart, the wind, and then you see like stuff flying around. It's a great segue. But yeah, here's the thing. what do they have in their pockets? You know, do they have actual stuff as if, you know, they're trying to play the role and this is what Red would have or Harold would have? Or do they have just their wallet and some candy? Like, I don't know, because it sounded like a candy, like Robert. Don't stay in school too much, Harold. Again, probably very stupid, but it's just one of those things that, you know, you watch enough of these shows and you're just kind of like, oh, I wonder about this. So we have the suspension bridge, so more of that same segment, and this is the one where I'm kind of getting some leads on, so I'm hoping I can narrow a lot of these down via this sort of physical kind of marker, but we'll see. Again, a great segment. The best part too is that, again, they're really looking at each other, they're really, you know, engaged. It's almost like the camera's not there, and the, you know, or it's just someone's like filming it secretly, right? Kind of cool, like you're almost catching a moment.
But they get to the point. And the thing I hear is that you take one of your teachers and you put them up here in the lodge, and how long are they going to last?
A week?
And I like here, they kind of veer off to the one side. Now, again, no acknowledgement of the camera. Oh, Jack. Oh, this is going to be good. This is another character I was kind of like, why didn't they have after the first season? And I understand that the actor himself had passed away. You know, in the early mid-90s realm, so maybe that's why. But it was just, it's such an odd character, and of course up in the new escarpment, you're going to have these little kind of cubby holes and caves and stuff like that, but it's just such a wild and, like, different character, especially for the early 90s. And the fact that he's all in black, too. Black toque, middle of summer.
They laughed at Columbus.
Did they? Yeah. And of course, then the hockey, of all things, to defend yourself in a cave, a hockey stick.
I'm sure some smug jerk did. I was laughing. You know, they laughed at me when I came up here.
Yeah.
They laughed at me.
I wonder if this is the one where he talks about getting McDonald's coupons. Like, he'd accept those as payment. Again, like, what is a guy in a cave going to do with McDonald's coupons?
I guess what you're saying is that you're not.
Do they even still have those? Like, I don't know. I always remember those back in the 90s. But I guess gift cards, except, maybe, right?
Except down right at the back.
Yeah, right at the back. Low,
the roof, and that's my TV room. But other than that, I don't sculpt anyway.
See, again, a guy in a cave has a TV, you know, and he's in the cave because the world's ending, but yet he has a TV. Just the absurdity of it all is just, it's great.
Well, basically, until the religious fanatics and warmongering dictators have destroyed the world. See, then I'll come down from my hole in the hill and be king of all I survey.
Oh.
Yeah, and then I'll just kind of
take it from there,
depending on what I survey.
Yeah.
I tell you, though, if the cities are still in good shape, I think I'm going to turn them into a fiend.
Well, it sounds like you're going to be up here hilarious for a long, long while.
I hope not. I only have enough food for 6 weeks. You know, Christopher Columbus, he didn't have these problems. The Queen gave him money.
Old Jack's
doing this on his
own. Old Jack. Again, makes him kind of crazy. It's kind of funny.
I could lend you like 20 bucks or something.
I'm sorry, Red, but I no longer recognize your currency. It's meaningless paper. You know, a useless symbol of a civilization gone awry.
Oh. Well, I have some McDonald's coupons.
Oh, yeah.
What about those?
Of course, they'll take those, you know? I like how he just gives it to him, and he sort of reluctantly takes it, but then does, and then takes off.
Jack, those coupons are for McRibs.
Darn!
It's sad because McRibs are, like, you know, again, a cult classic that everyone loves, you know, or you either love or you hate it, but.
Worked out.
And again, when's the last time we've had McRibs in Canada? I know in the States it kind of rolls around. There's actually a website called McRib Locator, if you Google it. They'll let you know where the McRibs are at any given time, or where people will spot them. It's got that much of a following. So again, if you look at Red here, it almost looks like he has something in that front pocket, just because, you know, where that dip in the crest is, there's almost like a little blob there, but it doesn't look like the same as his shirt, like the design. So it almost looks like kind of a small calculator, or like, well, you have like a little glasses case of some sort, but it just seems too small for a glasses case, so. Again, I kind of wonder what that would be about. Maybe it's a microphone, kind of a microphone thing. We usually have it on their back, right? Or they would use a boom microphone to capture it.
That was a heck of a day. We all had a real good time.
Yeah.
And it worked out well. I mean, Junior Singleton is Actually, still getting some fresh air.
Best part about some of these characters is we always hear, especially at the end of the story here, the last segment about these silent characters, and you know, of course, now the new podcast, we actually get to hear them. So, the mystery will be over.
If Junior Singleton's wife is watching, he's gonna be late.
Hilarious.
So, until next time, on behalf of myself and.
Still doesn't know his name. How many episodes were in? 7?
And the rest of the guys up the lodge.
Classic.
Keep your stick on the ice.
So sometimes at the yes end, these end things here, you can sort of, like, if you kind of turn the volume up on your TV or whatever, you can kind of hear some discussions. It's almost like they turn the mics, like, right down but not off. I swear a few of these, they do that. But I've never been able to kind of go from there anymore. So that brings us to the end of episode 7, the He-Man Contest. So I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. So really, that's basically where about, I guess, the podcast is going to end here, because I think we're up like over 40 minutes or something like that. So I think we'll just sort of cut her off there and kind of go back to, you know, our episode 8, I guess, in the next podcast. And hopefully I'll have that out in the next week or two and kind of get back into that every 2 or 3 week schedule, because it's been more of a every month. So hopefully that's where we're going to go with that. One of the things I'm also going to try to do in the near future is try to get some guests. The idea is to get some guests to either talk about the show, about what they like about the show, or, you know, if we get really lucky, get someone who actually worked on the show or one of the characters on the show and just get them to talk about their experiences. So one day I hope to do that, hopefully soon. No promises, but we are going to try. The more that, you know, the podcast gets popular and we expand our reach, then the more likely I'll be able to do some of these things. So, you know, keep supporting it, keep telling your friends about it, and keep subscribing and checking back in for the new episodes. I guess with that, we'll just give another shout out to our sponsor, Railline Design. If you check them out on Facebook or if you Google them, get onto their page. They've actually just come off of the Canada Day sale that they've had. It ended on July 6th of this year, so if you're listening to this after the 6th, don't fret. They'll probably have another sale soon. I know that they've been putting on some of the more, I guess, newer products that they've got on sale, such as their Spike Rail bottle opener and the wall-mounted toilet paper holder as well. So have a look there, support them. They've been great with us, supporting us, and they're helping us continue to put out these podcasts. So give them some support and some love as well. Tell your friends about them, and, you know, even grab something from them to give as a gift. I mean, they've got a lot of great products that are just perfect for kind of one of those gifts where someone's moving in, or maybe they're kind of renovating their house, or they've got a cottage, or, you know, they like rail stuff. Really anything they want. So give them some support as well, and hopefully they'll support us. So I guess with that, I'll just kind of wish you a good fortune over the next little while, and keep checking in, and I'll see you on our next episode.